Welcome back to Search for Lawful Government here with Ron Avery at republicbroadcasting.org. And this is the second hour, and we're going to continue the discussion that we started in the first hour regarding the right to rule Gaza by Israel after Israel completely demolishes Gaza, as they have been doing. And we have found out that they have no right whatsoever to do it, but other than to take reparations for their damage, which they would certainly have to prove. And but other than that, this property remains in the hands of the wives, the children of those even that shot off these homemade pipe rockets, and also came flying out on their kites and motorcycles against the mechanized army and navy and air force of Israel. I find this whole scenario a little unbelievable, but anyway, we already have some callers, and I don't want them to wait any longer. And I've been talking to Don from Arizona, so continue, Don, with where you left off.
Yeah, well, what the point I'm trying to make, it didn't start on October 7th. This whole thing, the Israelis would come in at the beginning in 47, 48. They'd come into a guy's house and say, "Get out of here or I'm going to kill you. This is my house now." And they've been doing the same thing ever since. Even to this day, these settlers will go into the West Bank there, and they'll just say, "Get out of here. This is our land now. We don't abide by your laws because we're Jews and we run the place, and you're just animals." They call them animals. But it is kind of similar. It's a settler. It's called a settler colonial mentality, where they come in and just kill everybody and steal all the land. That's what they've been doing for 75 years. So this deal is,
I agree with you. They even did that in Gaza, Don. Yeah. They did that in Gaza. They had illegal settlements in Gaza. Can you imagine? Right. They set up a prison compound, and then they even have the audacity to go in the prison compound and take the finest property and build their condos on. I just, these people are just, hey, whoa, somebody better put a leash on these folks, man. They're way out of control.
Even sadder than that is the Americans are just like a trained dog that just does anything they want. And people can't understand it, really. How much money do they pay somebody like all these politicians? Almost every single politician will go along and vote for everything that Israel wants. How much money do they give them? $1 million a month or what? What is it? What's the price?
Well, I'm like you. Whatever happened to the good old days when if you were going to be asked to do something immoral or break the law, you wanted some money for it.
Right.
You know, these people now, they cheat and do immoral things for nothing. Man, if I was in Congress and Israel wanted to vote for me against Gaza, they'd have to pay me $1 billion.
You have to come up with some.
Damn
some
right,
real,
you show up
money.
With some real cash, man. I'm not talking about chicken feed.
Well, I'm against it anyway. And you know, the person that knows, you've talked to Layla, I know from Canada. She was born.
She's up next, Don. You might want to hang on.
Yeah, she's up next. She'll tell you all about it. She knows firsthand. She was there when the she calls them the Yiddishers. When the Yiddishers first came, they don't even speak real.
I'm gonna ask Mike to bring Layla on right now so the three of us can have a chat. That'll be fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Ron. That was a fantastic presentation. I've never really read Locke very thoroughly. I've just kind of glossed over him from my university years. So thank you for that presentation. It was marvelous. And yes, they absolutely did have private property. They had deeds. They recognized that even though Palestine did not have its own federal or national government, the empires that were actually controlling them did conduct all the business of a nation state for them. They always had representation, for example, during the time when I call the Yiddishers, because that's what they were. Even when I lived in Montreal, we used to call them Yiddishers because they came in speaking Yiddish.
Yes.
But anyway,
I've heard them called Yids before too. Yiddish.
Yeah. Even Brother Nathaniel calls them Yids. We always call them Yids. But they've gotten rid of that so that they can claim that they're from Judah. But no, they're from the Yiddisher Ukraine and Eastern Europe. There was private property.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I think the original claim for this is what's really worn out. I'm tired of hearing about this because from the so-called Jews is that they claim that they have a biblical right to this land from the north of the Nile in Egypt to the Euphrates, and on the west the Mediterranean, and on the east the Dead Sea and all of that. But you know that. Those days were gone. They were cast. God actually cast them out of Jerusalem in 70 AD. That was God's judgment upon them. And it was said by Christ himself.
I'll let Layla talk and you, Ron. I'll let you go. But the one thing about it is October 7th, the whole truth has never been come out about that either. That a lot of it is friendly fire from the IDF, the Israeli army itself killed most of those civilians down there, and the truth will probably never be. They're trying to make up lies now about rape, which is there's no evidence for rape that anybody raped anybody.
I agree with you, Don. I don't think they've proven this October 7th thing at all. I find that whole thing very hard to believe.
I'm going to let you go and listen on the air. Thank you.
Well, I thank you much, Don. Okay, Layla, it's just you and me, but I'll finish up even what I was going to say. I've done some research on that myself just for a presentation I'm fixing to make on Sunday and with James Fetzer's group at his conference on false flags and conspiracies. But anyway, and it has to do with this the Jews were actually cast out of the area and of Jerusalem and all of that area, their kingdom, because they did not recognize the day of visitation, which was that they didn't recognize when God came down and visited them. They rejected God, and that was their punishment. They lost the land. They broke the covenant. There's no biblical authority for the Jews to have this property that they've taken in 1948.
You know, I completely agree with that. In fact, as you were speaking, this is something I hadn't really thought about before. I've always believed that those Israelis, those Zionists, were following satanic principles and had for centuries, which is why they were always hated and feared in Europe. But I was thinking, if they did not recognize God in Jesus when he was before them and among them, then which God were they talking to in the Old Testament, in their folklore, in their legends, in their mythology? Who were they talking to? Do they really worship the same God? I don't know. I mean, that just suddenly popped into my head.
Yeah, but, well, I think they were really good maybe about, well, I do believe a lot of the Old Testament stuff. I believe the Old Testament, too. I don't have a problem with that, but it's just not applicable anymore. This, and even all these Christians today are trying to make all this Old Testament stuff applicable in New Testament times. And this, it's not the, Israel is not the kingdom. It's none of that stuff that, that ever, Jesus is the kingdom. He is the walking, talking kingdom. And he's in heaven, and he's established it on earth, and everybody can get in. It's no more of this particular real estate, a desert real estate. That's no more holy than where I'm sitting right now.
I agree completely. The only thing that's holy is the spiritual portion of us. And without that, and without obeying the spirituality that we were taught through Christianity, you know, even the Ottoman Empire, which was Muslim, used to leave the churches in control of many of the legal areas, such as marriage, inheritance laws. For example, women could inherit in Palestine because the Ottoman Empire left it up to the churches. So because we were Christian, women were allowed to inherit. There were, and things like, for example, in Islam, women don't take their husband's name. They keep their father's name when they marry, whereas in Christianity, we always took our husband's name. And that was the other thing that, that distinguishes us. But I don't understand how they can not recognize. I mean, all of these Israelis are presumably well-educated. They have access to that literature. They know, yet somehow they have also fooled these anti-Christian Zionists that call themselves Christians into accepting their dogma and their doctrine. That's what I can't comprehend, that they don't recognize that they are being anti-Christian by following the philosophy, the politics of the Jews.
You're absolutely right, and I believe the real source of that in the church is the heresy called premillennialism. And it was developed by this Manuel Lacunza, who died in the early 1800s, and he established this kind of this premillennial doctrine, which actually denies the works of Christ in creating the kingdom of heaven, because this doctrine does not believe that the kingdom of heaven has been established on earth, the kingdom of God. They believe that the kingdom comes after Christ returns to heaven, returns to earth, and sets up a thousand-year kingdom, which relates to this period in which Satan is kept in a pit for a thousand years. And so the kingdom is during this period when Satan is in the pit. But then after a thousand years, Satan is released and raises an army against Jesus and his saints and all of this. But none of that fits the many of the scriptures, because Christ doesn't set foot on earth without destroying all evil with the brightness of his coming. So the devil has already been cast into the pit, cast into the eternal lake of fire along with his followers. So there's nobody to raise an army from. So none of this stuff works. But the modern churches have adopted this premillennial thing, so they don't believe the kingdom of God has been established. So in a way, they are identical to the Jews, because the Jews are waiting to build the kingdom and waiting for the kingdom, and so are these premillennial Christians. Neither one of them go into the kingdom. Neither one of them recognize the kingdom. And they don't preach it, they don't teach it, they don't get in it, and they don't let anybody else get in it. And it's a pathetic thing. It is a heresy in the church, and it's antichrist for the Jews. I mean, it's just all antichrist material.
Yeah, the other thing that bothers me, why I've left the church now for the last time, they insert themselves between us and God. We cannot talk to God. We have to use the priest or the reverend or the minister to speak on our behalf.
Yeah, that's phony baloney because, I mean, even God said that, you know, in the Old Testament, he promised that all shall know me from the greatest to the smallest to the greatest. They shall all know me. You won't be saying, teaching your brother here, know God. Everyone should know him. And that means there's no priest. Christ Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you have direct access to him through prayer and all of that, and you've actually been redeemed by him, you've been altered by him, you've become a new creature. So all of that stuff is just bunk, and there's so much bunk still in these churches that render them, what it really does to them is it renders them powerless. The modern church has no power at all. It's impotent. It doesn't teach the truth. It doesn't teach the power of God. It gives nobody any power. Everybody's just weaklings struggling along from day to day. They can't say anything. They don't do anything. They haven't got any power. They're not in the kingdom. They're not stewards. They're nothing.
Yeah, the only power they have is when they pass around their collection basket, or they ask you to pay your membership dues.
the whole church has become nothing but a means to keep the buildings up, keep the air conditioning on.
Yeah, exactly. It's become an industry unto itself. Anyway, your show notes will have this on the premillennialism, because I'd like to read that more thoroughly.
Okay. Yes, I'll send you. I'll put some links in there. I'll put some links in my summary. Super, Layla. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you, Ron.
All right.
Bye.
You bet. Thank you. All right. Okay, John from Colorado, you're up next.
Yeah. Hi, Ron. Good afternoon, Ron. Hi, Ron. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can. You sound good.
Thank you. Good. Before I get into your talk today, can I just bring this up and ask your opinion? This thing I've been seeing, you see it on the TV a lot now, it's called Catholics Come Home.
Yes.
Do you have an opinion on that? Do you think the church is losing people trying to get them to come back in?
You're breaking up a little bit, John. I don't know, but I did hear all of that. I just think the Catholic Church, like all these other churches, have done the same thing. They've adopted this premillennial stuff, and they've become impotent, and people are simply leaving this stuff. I mean, you can't serve pablum and powerless stuff to people. They don't have any use for it. If you don't have any power, you don't have any use, there's nothing to it. Why should people hang around? I mean, you're better off out searching on your own, trying to find something, than to just sit there and listen to garbage and distortion.
Yeah, well, it's been the last, I don't know, half a year or something. This has come out, and it started. Their big spokesman was Lou Holtz, a former football coach, talking about this, and they bring in other people in, and. I was wondering, you know, the church, you don't hear much about the other denominations occasionally, but this one, the big one called CatholicsComeHome.org, and I'm wondering if, they're afraid of losing members and trying to bring them back in some kind of thing that is, I don't know.
Well, they're not the only ones. John, I've heard the Baptists, there's an outfit in San Antonio, another Baptist church that advertises a little bit, but I have seen that Catholics Come Home thing. That would be presuming you were there to start with, you know, and all of that. I don't quite know. See, that's just an advertising campaign, and I don't know the basis of it. I don't think it's going to work very good, but hang on with us, John. We got to take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
All right.
Thank you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Crazy tune right there. Anyway, welcome back to Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery here at republicbroadcasting.org. Here we're on the second, or on the short segment of the second hour, talking to John from Colorado. And what were we talking about? Can you refresh where we were? John,
we were talking about alternatives. Like, you there, Ron?
Yes. Yes, I hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, we were talking about, I talked to the advertisement CatholicsComeHome.org. I just, what your opinion on it was. But
I really have an opinion. Do you have an opinion? What do you think that's about, John?
Well, I think it's, if they think they're losing members in that, they're trying to bring them back in. That's my opinion. But I don't know. I've never heard something like, must be a nationwide thing. Never heard like this before, other than, you know, local congregations that go listen to all this stuff. But I just wonder what you thought about it. But
well, I will refer you to another show I've done on this, John. I did a show on the Great Exodus from the Church. And it does include the Catholic Church, along with the Protestant denominations and all. And it they've lost a tremendous, in the last 20 years, they've lost 50% of the church congregation. And this is truly, I think, a sign of the falling away of the church, the adoption of heresy. And it's the same thing that lets Satan out of the bag. Satan, I believe, was locked in a pit, and he was locked in a pit for 1,000 years by sound doctrine. Well, what has happened now is we don't have sound doctrine. We have unsound doctrine, and it's the falling away of the church, and it has let Satan out of the pit to go back deceiving the world. And I think that really is the state of Israel and the Jews claiming to be something they're not. And I think this is all the same thing going on. It's just different ways of describing it. But we're definitely in the last days, as far as I can tell. But that's the way it's looking.
Yeah, well, I wondered what that. I just say, like I said, I have my thing where I read the Bible in a year, and I get done a little early. I just finished up the last book, Revelations, and like you said, you know, yes, Satan has been locked in for 1,000 years, and but you said it's maybe getting its way out because of the way the congregations talk, or they don't. But what
let me say this, John, about that. The premillennialist believe that this same period that where Satan is locked in a pit is that which the same time as Jesus is on the earth ruling in a civil government. And I'm just telling you, that doesn't wash, because 2 Thessalonians 5 says that that Christ returns to the earth like a fire, taking vengeance upon those that know not God. So, and then fire falls from heaven. If Christ destroys all evil with the brightness of coming, how could he be ruling the world of an unregenerate world that later Satan raises an army against him and his saints? That just doesn't jive. It doesn't fit. So the premillennialists just don't have a leg to stand on, and it's destructive anyway, and they should abandon that stuff. The kingdom of heaven on earth has been established by the operation of Christ and his death, resurrection, and ascension, and they need to start preaching that and getting into the kingdom and declaring it, and people will be attracted to that. They'll get power from it. They'll be able to have power and do things, but not with this denial of the kingdom and denial of the works of Christ. I mean, even Christ said, "He that keepeth my works shall receive the rod of iron to dash the nations to shivers, as my Father has given me." Well, that's power, man. But you don't get it by denying his works, by saying that he did nothing when he came here, had no effect on the world, he didn't create the kingdom, the door's not open. I mean, that's just all bunk. And the church is responsible for this, because they just adopted heresy, and they need to dump it and get right, and then they'll get a bigger church and more powerful people. But anyway, we got to take another break. We'll be right back. We'll hear from some other callers after this.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to my fourth annual Volkswagen Conspiracies Conference 2023, a virtual event on the 16th and 17th of December. Outstanding speakers, Ace Baker, Brian Davidson, Fred Lochter, Donald Jeffries, Stephanie Sledge, Dr. Meryl Ness, Giuseppe Vafangulo, Joaquin Gopian, Dr. Reed Labo, Jack Mullen, Joe Olson, Brian Davidson, Monique Lucan, Scott Bennett, Nick Kohlerstrom, Russ Winter, Ron Avery, Miriam Hinane, John Kaminsky, Sarah Westall, Dr. Catherine Horton. This is something you don't want to miss. 500 free Zoom tickets are available. Register now. Go to falseflagsandconspiracyconference.com/tickets/ to get it now.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
That sound, tequila. Anyway, well, John has left us, and Francis from North Carolina, you're up next.
Hey, young man.
How you doing?
Hey, Ron.
I'm sorry?
Not too bad. I wish Layla was still on the line, because I tell you what, she needs to write a book.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
She is a piece of
work. She's a great lady. Yeah, I like talking to her. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's like an encyclopedia. Go figure. But anyway, I'm just wondering about one thing. From an outside point of view, as it were, I'm wondering if the scenario with how the various traditions of Christianity handle and view the various sacred, holy teachings, writings, however you want to call it, scripture, and so forth, I wonder if that was, shall we say, twisted, intercepted, or whatever the case might be, translated, because of either before or after the organization known as the church or whatever took on the process of a 501c3 status. In other words, tax exempt.
I have Francis. It is Francis, right? Am I saying that right?
I wish it wasn't.
Okay. Well, anyway, I have researched that myself. I've just looked into 501c3, what it really meant, that status, what it meant to churches. And I found that it has nothing to do with actually preaching the gospel or any particular thing in there about it. The only thing that 501c3 would prevent a church from doing is actually recommending that you vote for a particular person from the pulpit. You can't do that. Or, and the other thing you can't do as a proposition, or you can't say, vote for this proposition or don't vote for that proposition. If you say that from the pulpit, you can endanger your 501c3. But anything else, just topics, what you think is moral or immoral related to anything, you're free to do. And what I've discovered is that the problem with the modern church is not a tax status. It truly is a deep-rooted theological error. And they don't, for instance, the worst pastor, the Antichrist pastor of San Antonio, which is John Hagee, he doesn't have a 501c3 status. He's not conformed to that at all. He just has bad theology, and most than all these other churches. No, that's true. He's a heretic, and all of these that go for this thousand year premillennial thing. The premillennialists are all heretics of the worst kind. It's the worst heresy that's ever been embraced by the church.
Well, I have a better word for you than just heretic. And for one thing, as far as 501c3 status goes and all that, that's more of a mix and match type scenario as far as a blend between being tax exempt and how you want to direct your flock, as it were, as far as that part goes. But I have a better word instead of heresy is hypocritical. And, yes, I'm familiar with the aspect of John Hagin. What he spews and everything is not even silly. Because you talk about someone who mixes and matches terminology and basically has people under the impression that, well, if you don't do this, you're going to, this is what's going to happen to you. And I'm thinking, you know, Joseph and Joseph, Jesus, whatever name you wish to call him, or God for that matter, who of those deities, who in the world would they support? It certainly wouldn't be him, not in his hypocrisy and his perpitude. I mean, if they had a chance to throw a meteor at him at the building, they'd go for it. But I think they're being lenient and saying, well, eventually this child will wake up and snap out of their stupor and actually drink their coffee that's supposed to be drinking or something. But I find it reprehensible because the pastors, priests, whatever, that are head of these places, that are basically causing the people to leave, if they can't see that there's something wrong in their procedure or whatever the case is, why aren't they doing something to snap out of it and correct it? Unless someone's got their boot on their neck and saying, no, you do this and you do that and so forth. And if people leave, well, you know, they're condemned to who knows where. Well, for one thing, who are they to say who is condemned to go here or there or whatever have you? They're not.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Francis, just as I was talking to John about, he brought it up about all these people leaving the Catholic Church, and you're now talking about people leaving these various churches. I do recommend listening to one of my shows on, I think it's called The Great Exodus of the church, from the church. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a book written by two gentlemen, and I don't have their names in front of me or any of that. Mm-hmm. And they're young pastors and stuff, and they wrote this book about the Great Exodus, and it's been the largest exodus almost in American history from the church. And they get into detail about what they think the reasons for these people are leaving. And believe it or not, they did not mention theological reasons. They mentioned that some people definitely had theological reasons for leaving, but they didn't say what those theological reasons were. And they didn't get into at least. Yeah, and to me. See, to me, the whole problem is bad theology, not were they warm, were they friendly, did they have breakfast, did they have donuts and coffee, did they say, how do you do, and all. I mean, they got so much baloney with these things. I mean, the church is not just a social club. I mean, so,
well, I have one worse
and
than
that's
that
the
for
way
you.
They treat it. Huh?
I have one worse than that for you. Maybe
okay.
Perhaps the people are processing the material and thinking, wait a minute, this does not make any logical sense. And as a result, they're turned off by it. If it doesn't make any logical sense, I don't care how religious or how spiritual the material may be presented as. If it doesn't make any logical sense of what is being talked about and it doesn't add up in the person's head, then their heart is going to shut it off.
Well, you are right, and that you know, we have four parts, and even Christ said, you know, to love the Lord thy God with all their heart and with all your mind and all your strength and all your soul. So, I mean, the idea is that we have a mind. We're supposed to love him with our mind. If it doesn't, then just like you say, if it doesn't make sense, if it doesn't jive rationally as well, then that's one of the aspects that says the mind, the use of your mind can check the misuse of your heart, and that's what these people are doing. I mean, the church needs to quit banging the tambourine so much and jumping up and down and hooping and hollering, and they need to find out what the real basis of this thing is and what the power of it is, because right now, most of these churches are just squeaking by on trying to pump people up every Sunday for them to go out and get slaughtered for the rest of the week. They're not giving them any strength to deal with modern society. And in other words, they're not giving them the gospel, and they're not getting them into the kingdom, and they're not stewards, and they're not defenders of the kingdom. They're just making these weak and beggarly people.
It sounds like there's not any spiritual healing and thus spiritual growth being taught or being explained or being given to the individual. And thus, as a result, the person is like, okay, what am I actually getting out of this? Big question. And so how does it apply
That's
to my
right.
life? Big question. How does it apply to my work, my livelihood? Big question. How does it affect my family? Big question. So when people start
and another thing I'm surprised about, the church doesn't talk about, well, when we preach the gospel and we give these people the power to go out and deal with society, and they get banged up by society by doing so, they lose their job. See, a lot of people think you become a Christian and the doors open for you. It's almost the reverse. Become a Christian and all the doors will close for you. I know people that have gotten even band guy, people that play music, they've been banned out of whole cities like Los Angeles. They couldn't get a job in Los Angeles because they turned Christian. I mean, this and the church needs to understand, when you give people the gospel and they go do the gospel, and we're to be here not only hearers but doers. If you go out and do it and you get beat up, the church ought to be able to handle that person correctly, not just kind of, ooh, gosh, get away from us. You'll bring that heat upon us. And that really is the church today. If somebody gets in trouble for the gospel or something, they don't want them around because it brings the heat to them too.
Well, that's just it. Whenever someone goes out with that spiritual healing and does spiritual teaching, as it were, I actually think they did that backwards, excuse me. But when they do that and they've gained that, then that is something they can share with others. But it's not like they have to go and scream it to on the rooftop. No.
Basically, yeah, right. That's true.
You're walking your walk. You don't have to talk your talk, because people can see by your actions and by what you do as to where you're coming from. If they're drawn to it, hey, more power to you. But if they're turned off by it, not a big deal. Somebody else will pick up on the vibe.
There you go. Yeah, that's right, too. Well, so, Francis, anything else?
Let's see. Much love and peace, especially for this season, as the sun is waning until the turn of the equinox or solstice or whatever it is, and who knows. Have a fun weekend and play hard.
All right, Francis. Well, same to you.
Okay. Take care. Later.
Call again soon. Okay, Patrick from Texas, you're up next.
Hi, Ron.
Hey,
yeah,
Patrick.
I've heard you speak before. I think you're a real estate attorney at one time, if I'm not mistaken.
What?
Right?
I'm sorry, what was that?
You used to be, you were a real estate attorney?
No, I've never been an attorney. I have a lot of court experience, but I'm not an attorney. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you was the same guy. I was listening to your lecture. As far as, being a Yiddishers, and it's a Slavic slang that they use to confuse the people they're trying to do business with. But it's got nothing to do with Hebrew. The Hebrew is an ancient Hebrew, which is it's almost identical to the Gaelic dialect, which were the English word language comes from the Welsh Gaelic. So it's almost a direct link right back to Hebrew. The lost tribes of Israel, well, it was not really lost. It's just that the Bible went quiet about it, but archaeology has picked up the trail very good. They have found all the evidence that the tablets in the library of Sargon II. This shows exactly where the Israelites are placed. River goes on in the city of the Medes, and they just didn't name them Israel. They call them Gemara, and then the Greeks called the Gemara Scipios, and that's almost on the side of a hill. In Persia, where they have three languages, like a Rosetta Stone, where the Gemara is a Saka, and then the Saka called the Scipions. And each time it's the same sound as Isaac, and they call themselves the House of Isaac. And in the Scipions, it went up into southern Germany, and the Romans. The Scipios were kicked out by the Sarmatians, which are Persian people. So the Romans solved the problem, and they called the Scipions Germans, as in Germani, as in Latin, genuine. And the Romans were always named. They named the Celtic people, which were another branch of the Scipions. So, the archaeology has a pretty much a dead lock on what the Bible, has failed to keep up with. The Scottish Declaration of Independence, they stayed unequivocally to the Pope, complaining about the hardship of the English kings on them, that they are from the bloodline of the Scipions. And, of course, the Gaelic word for Hebrew is Ibernia, and the Iberian Peninsula, where the Visigoths were at, they moved up into Ireland, and I still call it Ibernia, and then the Scottish, all the same bloodline, and it just it goes on. They became the Vikings, the Nordics, the Danes, the Lombards, which are Italians, and the Franks. It all branches from that. And the Romans were naming us as we were going. They called us Celtic people and the German people, and but we've got it. It's just that the Jesuits, who are in all the seminaries, and they control all that, and they also control the church now.
Okay, Patrick, hang on. We got to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tahi Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Like to cut that tune a little short because we got Patrick still on the line. I want you to kind of finish it up, Patrick. This is the wrap up, so you got about a minute. What are you really saying about all these people now?
What I'm saying is the lost tribes are not lost. They never were. It's just that archaeology, you know, has found where they actually went about. They did not, become amalgamated or, into the society.
Well, let me ask you, Patrick, what's the importance of the lost tribes? What are you getting at with the lost? You saying we need to find them? We're going to not be all right unless we find them? Or what does all that mean? Well, let me say one thing that St. Paul said on Mars Hill in Acts. He said that God has created all men of the same blood. They all have the same blood. And he has set the bounds of their habitation that they might seek God, might seek him and find him. So God has, no matter who is what or where they're from, they're all the same blood. There is no special blood. There's no special bloodline. There's no special blood anything. We're all the same people. We're all made the same. We're all made in the image of God. And he set the bounds of our habitation that we might seek him and find him. And I think that's wonderful good news. What do you say, Patrick?
I say no. I say Jesus told the Canaanite woman, I came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when we came into Canaan land, they told us to kill all of the Canaanites. The Canaanites were cannibals, and that's what they were known for. They are very evil people, just like they took out Sodom and Gomorrah. If they're evil and vile people, then that's the way it is. You can try to make us all the same, but it just don't work. That ain't the way it is. It's a harsh world out there. There's a lot
of bad
people.
I didn't say we were all the same. We have the same blood. What he was saying, we have the same blood, and now through Christ, we have the same opportunity to get into the kingdom of heaven. That means God has created all men to be equal. That's our kind of understanding, and that's a Christian understanding. And we're equal because we all have equal access to the kingdom of God through the door that Christ made in his death, resurrection, and ascension. So it's not that people are the same. It's just that they have the same opportunity. They're created by God in an equal manner, and they have equal access. So that's all I'm really saying about that.
All right, well, a zebra never changes its stripes. You get some bad people, and they very rarely they change.
I'll let you wrap that up because
we definitely have
Patrick.
A different opinion. Take care, then.
All right, good deal. All right. Okay, call again soon. All right, see y'all next week.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilo Ji literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilo Ji has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.